Drift is brought to you by Sierra Sil Joint Formula 14. And use the code DRIFT for 14% off the all-natural Canadian joint formula that is so sure its patented formula for knee pain will help you at about a dollar a day. They offer you a money-back guarantee. Learn more in the morning at sierrasil.com. Sierra, like the mountains, and Sil, like silicon. Read stories from people just like you and like Drift that have happy endings. Hello, I'm Erin, and welcome to Drift. I'm pleased to share with you here over 100 stories gently told with those happy endings. Well, as happy as we can make them. And then beautiful, easy waves to help you drift off to sleep. And I want to thank you for joining our gentle sleep community as we spend this time together, walking each other home, as someone once said. But instead of home, it's a lovely rest. So just before we begin this tale from the Brothers Grimm called Snowdrop, which will likely sound familiar to you by another name by which it came to be known, Snow White, but I'd like to thank Kathy and Kim from Envy Pillow for giving me a good night's sleep every night. Whether I'm traveling or at home, their beautiful, ergonomically sound pillows give me the neck support I need while helping to prevent the wrinkles that other pillows cause. Face lines? Nope. Just rest your head knowing you're supporting a two-woman company whose own story of turning down Dragon's Den also has a happy ending. Go to envypillow.com for details. And thank you for supporting the good Canadians who support me. We're going to get you settled in and ready for a nice story by taking one deep breath in and holding for 5, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now exhaling slowly to the count of 10, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Feel that? You're starting to let go already. We're going to do it again. Now this time, counting 5 as you inhale, breathe in the peace you want to be surrounded by. Holding for another 5. And when you breathe out, counting to 10, let the day go completely. So good. Let's do another breath. Now this one, let it go all the way to your toes. Breathe in. Holding for 5. And now releasing and letting go of any tension that you may hold. Drop your shoulders. Let your arms and legs feel limp and heavy. And be sure to check your face. The muscles in your forehead, your mouth, should be relaxed and gently resting. Now one final breath in, counting to 5. Holding for 5. And as you release now, think these words: I am safe. I am loved. I am at peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. It was the middle of winter, and the snowflakes were falling from the sky like feathers. Now, a queen sat sewing at a window framed in black ebony, and as she sewed, she looked out upon the snow. Suddenly, she pricked her finger, and 3 drops of blood fell onto the snow. And the red looked so lovely on the white that she thought to herself, if only I had a child as white as snow and as red as blood and as black as the wood of the window frame. Soon after, she had a daughter, whose hair was black as ebony, while her cheeks were red as blood and her skin as white as snow. So she was called Snowdrop. But when the child was born, the queen died. A year later, the king took another wife. She was a handsome woman, but proud and overbearing, and she could not endure that anyone should surpass her in beauty. She had a magic looking glass, and when she stood before it and looked at herself, she used to say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of us all?" Then the glass answered, "Queen, thou art fairest of them all." Then she was content, for she knew that the looking glass spoke the truth. But Snowdrop grew up and became more and more beautiful, so that she was as beautiful as the day and far surpassed the queen. Once, when she asked her glass, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of us all?" it answered, "Queen, thou art fairest here I hold, but Snowdrop is fairer a thousandfold." Then the queen was horror-struck and turned green and yellow with jealousy. Her heart sank, and she hated Snowdrop. The pride and envy of her heart grew like a weed, so that she had no rest day nor night. At last she called a huntsman and said, "Take the child out into the wood. I will not set eyes on her again." The huntsman obeyed and took Snowdrop out into the forest. But when she realized why she was there, she began to cry. "Alas, dear huntsman, spare my life, and I will run away into the wild forest and never come back again." And because of her sweetness, the huntsman had pity on her and said, "Well, run away, poor child." And he felt as though a weight were lifted, because he had not been obliged to kill her. Now the poor child was alone in the great wood, with no living soul near, and she was so frightened that she knew not what to do. Then she began to run, and ran as far as her feet could carry her, till it was nearly evening, when she saw a small house and went in to rest. Inside everything was small, but as neat and clean as could be. A small table, covered with a white cloth, stood ready with 7 small plates, and by every plate was a spoon, knife, fork, and cup. 7 little beds were ranged against the walls, covered with snow-white quilts. As Snowdrop was very hungry and thirsty, she ate a little bread and potato from each plate, and drank a little milk from each cup, for she did not want to eat up the whole of one portion. Then, being very tired, she lay down in one of the beds. She tried them all, but none suited her. One was too short, another too long, all except the 7th, which was just right. She stayed in it, said her prayers, and fell asleep. When it was quite dark, the masters of the house came in. They were 7 dwarfs who would dig in the mountains for ore. As soon as they could see by their lamps, they noticed that someone had been there, for everything was not in the order in which they had left it. The first said, "Who has been sitting in my chair?" The second said, "Who's been eating off my plate?" The third said, "Who's been nibbling my bread?" The 4th said, "Who's been eating my potatoes?" The 5th said, "Who has been using my fork?" The 6th said, "Who has been cutting with my knife?" The 7th said, "Who's been drinking out of my cup?" Then the 1st looked and saw a slight impression on his bed and said, "Who has been on my bed?" The others came running up and said, "And mine, and mine." But the seventh, when he looked into his bed, saw Snowdrop, who lay there asleep. He called the others, who came up and cried out with astonishment as they held their lights and gazed at Snowdrop. "Heavens," they said, and they were so delighted that they did not wake her up, but left her asleep in bed. And the seventh dwarf slept with his comrades, an hour with each, all through the night. When morning came, Snowdrop woke up, and when she saw the seven men, she was frightened. But they were very kind, and asked her name and how she got in. Then she told them how her stepmother had wished to get rid of her, how the huntsman had spared her life, and how she had run all day till she had found their house. Then the dwarf said, "Will you look after our household, cook, make the beds, wash, sew, and knit, and keep everything neat and clean? If so, you shall stay with us and want for nothing."
"Yes, with all my heart," she replied,
and she stayed with them and kept the house in order. In the morning, they went to the mountain and searched for copper and gold. And in the evening, they came back, and then their meal had to be ready. All day, the maiden was alone, and the good dwarfs warned her and said, "Beware of your stepmother, who will soon learn that you are here. Don't let anyone in." But the queen, feeling certain that she was the fairest of all, stepped in front of her glass and asked, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" And the glass answered as usual, "Queen, thou art fairest here I hold." But Snowdrop over the fells, who with the seven dwarfs dwells, is fairer still a thousandfold. She was dismayed, for she knew that the glass told no lies, and she began anew to plot the demise of her so-called rival. At last she thought of a plan. She dyed her face and dressed up like an old peddler, so that she was quite unrecognizable. In this guise she crossed over the seven mountains to the home of the seven dwarfs and called out, "Wares for sale." Snowdrop peeped out of the window and said,
"Good day, dear lady. What have you got to sell?"
"Good wares, fine wares," she answered, "laces of every color." And she held out one which was made of beautiful pleated silk. "I may let the honest woman in," thought Snowdrop. And she unbolted the door and bought the pretty lace. "Child," said the old woman, "what a sight you are. I will tie up your dress properly for once." Snowdrop made no objection and placed herself before the old woman to let her lace her with the new lace. But the old woman laced so quickly and tightly that she took away Snowdrop's breath, and the girl fell down as though dead. "Now I am the fairest," the queen said to herself, and hurried away. Not long after, the seven dwarfs came home and were horror-struck when they saw their dear little Snowdrop lying on the floor without stirring. When they saw she was laced too tight, they cut the lace, whereupon she began to breathe and soon came back to life. When the dwarfs heard what had happened, they said that the old peddler was none other than the wicked queen. "Take care not to let anyone in when we are not here," they said. Now the wicked queen, as soon as she got home, went to the glass and asked, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of us all?" And it answered, "Queen, thou art fairest here I hold, but Snowdrop over the fells, who with the seven dwarfs dwells, is fairer still a thousandfold.
Well, when she heard it, all her blood flew to her heart, so enraged was she, and she thought to herself, I must plan something which will put an end to her. By means of witchcraft, in which she was skilled, she made a poisoned comb. Next, she disguised herself and took the form of a different old woman. She crossed the mountains and came to the home of the seven dwarfs and knocked at the door, calling out, Good wares to sell. Snowdrop looked out of the window and said, Go away. I must not let anyone in.
At least you may look, answered the old woman,
and she took out the poisoned comb and held it up. Oh, the child was so pleased with it that she opened the door. When she had made a bargain, the old woman said, Now I will comb your hair properly for once. Poor Snowdrop, suspecting no evil, let the old woman have her way. But scarcely was the comb fixed in her hair than the poison took effect, and the maiden fell down unconscious.
You paragon of beauty, said the wicked woman, now it is all over with you.
And she went away. Happily, it was near the time when the seven dwarfs came home. When they saw Snowdrop lying on the ground as though dead, they immediately suspected the queen and searched till they found the poisoned comb. No sooner had they removed it than Snowdrop came to and related what had happened. They warned her again to please be on guard and to open the door to no one. When she got home, the queen stood before her glass and said, Well, you know, Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all? And it answered as usual, Queen, thou art fairest here I hold, but Snowdrop over the fells, who with the seven dwarfs dwells, is fairer still a thousandfold. When she heard the glass speak these words, she trembled and quivered with rage.
Snowdrop shall die, she said, even if it costs me my own life.
Thereupon she went into a secret room, which no one ever entered but herself, and made a poisonous apple. Outwardly, it was beautiful to look upon with rosy cheeks, and everyone who saw it longed for it, but whoever ate of it was certain to die. When the apple was ready, she dyed her face and dressed herself like an old peasant woman, and so crossed the seven hills to the dwarf's home. There she knocked. Snowdrop put her head out of the window and said, Oh, I must not let anyone in. The seven dwarfs have forbidden me.
It is all the same to me, said the peasant woman. I shall soon get rid of my apples. There, I will give you one.
No, I must not take anything.
Are you afraid of poison? See, I will cut the apple in half. You eat the red side, and I'll keep the other.
Now the apple was so cunningly painted that the red half alone was poisoned. Snowdrop longed for the apple, and when she saw the peasant woman eating, she could hold out no longer, stretched out her hand, and took the poisoned half. Scarcely had she taken a bite, than she fell dead to the ground. The queen looked with a fiendish glance and laughed aloud and said, White as snow, red as blood, and black as ebony. This time your friends cannot wake you up again.
And when she got home and asked the looking glass, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" It answered at last, "Queen, thou art fairest of them all." Then her jealous heart was at rest. As much at rest as a jealous heart can be, that is. The dwarfs, when they came home, found Snowdrop lying on the ground, and not a breath escaped her lips, and she was quite dead. They lifted her up and looked to see whether any poison was to be found, unlaced her dress, combed her hair, washed her with wine and water, but it was no use. Their dear child was dead. They laid her on a bed, and all seven sat down and bewailed her and lamented over her for 3 whole days. Then they prepared to bury her, but she looked so fresh and living and still had such beautiful rosy cheeks that they said, "We cannot put her in the dark earth." So they had a transparent glass coffin made so she could be seen from every side, laid her inside, and wrote on it in letters of gold her name and how she was a king's daughter. Then they set the coffin out on the mountain, and one of them always stayed by and watched it. And the birds came too and mourned for Snowdrop, first an owl, then a raven, and lastly, a dove. Now Snowdrop lay a long, long time in her coffin, looking as though she were asleep. It happened that a prince was wandering in the wood and came to the home of the 7 dwarfs to pass the night. He saw the coffin on the mountain and lovely Snowdrop inside and read what was written in golden letters. Then he said to the dwarfs, "Let me have the coffin. I will give you whatever you like for it." But they said, "No, we will not give it up for all the gold in the world." Then the prince said, "Then give it to me as a gift, for I cannot live without Snowdrop to gaze upon, and I will honor and revere it as my dearest treasure." When he had said these words, the good dwarfs pitied him and gave him the coffin. The prince bade his servants carry it on their shoulders. Now it happened that they stumbled over some brushwood, and the shock dislodged the piece of apple from Snowdrop's throat. In a short time she opened her eyes, lifted the lid of the coffin, sat up, and came back to life again completely. "Oh, heaven, where am I?" The prince, full of joy, said, "You are with me." And he related what had happened, and then said, "I love you better than all the world. Come with me to my father's castle, and one day be my wife." Snowdrop agreed and went with him, and eventually, their wedding was celebrated with great magnificence. Snowdrop's wicked stepmother was invited to the feast, and when she had put on her fine clothes and stepped to her glass mirror and asked who was fairest of all, the glass answered, "Queen, thou art fairest here, I hold." The young queen fairer 1,000-fold. Then the wicked woman uttered a curse and was so terribly angry she didn't know what to do. She had no rest. She did know one thing. She felt obliged to go and see the young queen. And when she came in, she recognized Snowdrop and stood stock still, paralyzed by her anger. Then all at once, as though struck by lightning, the queen fell to the floor in a heap. For at last, you see, Her jealous heart had come to a stop. And Snowdrop, now a kind and most beautiful queen for the ages, had nothing more to fear. And she and her prince lived happily ever after. And with that, I will wish you a good night and sweet dreams.